KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One day after former President Trump's classified documents trial was delayed indefinitely, there's a likely delay in his Georgia election interference case. It's after a court of appeals in the state is going to review the order that allowed prosecutor Fani Willis to remain on the case after conflict of interest allegations. Arkansas and the Ohio Valley today at risk of severe weather, the third day in a row that millions of people are dealing with severe storms. ABC's Alex Prochet is outside of a FedEx facility in Portage, Michigan, that was destroyed by a reported tornado last night.
And it looks like it was peeled off like a tin can. Some 50 employees trapped inside when this storm rolled through yesterday. Thankfully, FedEx saying today that none of them had serious injuries. But
Washington, D.C. police arrested 33 people as they cleared a pro-Palestinian encampment at George Washington University. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today announcing a huge expansion of Microsoft's footprint in Racine County. But Biden has work to do with Democrats on his support for the Israeli war in Gaza.
Remember, looking back to the primaries in Wisconsin and Michigan, we saw those protest votes over this issue when it comes to President Biden. That is a huge warning sign for the president in these critical battleground states where a few thousand votes, as we saw last election, could really decide it all.
Reporter Rachel Scott in Washington. Wisconsin is getting almost $18 million from Washington to fight fentanyl and opioid abuse. Senator Tammy Baldwin chairs a key appropriations subcommittee. She says communities on the front lines need resources to fight the epidemic. The money comes from the state opioid response grant program. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Fox Valley Pride is looking for a location for its annual celebration after the city of Neenah said no to closing down its busiest streets for the event. Mayor Jane Lang says the issue comes from closing two blocks of West Wisconsin Avenue during peak shopping time. Fox Valley Pride is considering other locations, including Neenah's Riverside Park, Appleton, Menasha, or even a blended event with Oshkosh Pride. The Menasha Police Department wants to hire more officers due to an increase in population and the number of calls. To do so will require a referendum asking taxpayers for an extra 73 cents per $1,000 on property valuation or an extra $114 per year for the average home. The city's administrative committee is reaching out to the Department of Revenue for more information and will address the issue at the August 5th meeting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Willie Adames comes through for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked as if the Brewers were about to lose their fourth game in a row, top of the ninth in KC. The Royals leading 5-3. Jeff Levering with the call, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Fly ball, left field. It is back.
The Brewers winning 6-5. Adames called the shot, telling Royals fans that had been teasing him all night it was coming.
They were talking the whole game. You know, they were friendly, and they were like, we want you. And I told them, yeah, you sure about that? If he gets a wall here, you know, I think that was the key for us, you know, to get a chance to score some runs and, you know, obviously come on top in this game.
In college news, the search is on for a new athletic director at Marquette. At age 67, Bill Scholl is stepping down after rebuilding the program the past 10 years. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Plenty of sunshine through early afternoon, and then we do have a chance of an isolated shower or two popping through here by late today and again into tonight. Our high today, 68. The wind northeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, clouds and a few showers in the morning. More sunshine in the afternoon with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Mino and the mayor.
I went for a walk yesterday. And I walked past the car, Jim's car, and I saw the light blink in the red light. So I come in here. I said, Jim, your meter's expired. He goes, no, it's not. I put in a bunch of money. I said, ah, Jim, I think it's pretty sure it's your car. So he goes there and goes, I put it in the wrong meter.
So the guy next to me got free parking.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Turl Knight from the Turlton joins us to talk about the painted pianos that are coming to downtown Green Bay.
Then Sean Lynch from Winnebago Bicycle in Oshkosh will tell us about a fun event they have coming up.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always join the show if you want to call. You can text. Same number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show coming up today. Looking forward to having Deborah Cronmiller back on the show. She is with the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. And we want to talk about this latest lawsuit that has been filed, trying to make it harder for some people to vote, essentially.
Yeah.
And other questions. I want to address some of the fallacies with Deb about the security of drop boxes, the security of mail-in voting, the security of absentee ballot, you know, sending in an absentee ballot. I just think that there's a lot of misinformation about how these systems work and how they're policed.
Yeah. I think that a great person you can also ask about absentee ballots, banking your vote, Brian Schimming of the Wisconsin GOP. He loves it.
He does.
He loves it.
Vote early.
Vote once.
Yeah, not often.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Wednesdays at 11:33, we are joined by Dr. Laura Hanks for public service announcement. And apparently, if you live in Dane County and you're a parent, you might know about this already, but it seems there is a bit of a lice outbreak among some school children. So we're gonna talk about that. And if you have any questions for Dr. Hanks, you can always email them. Send them to janesays@civicmedia.us. Speaking of, we got an email yesterday. We talked to Kip Adams on Monday from the National Deer Association about car deer crashes.
Correct.
And Wisconsin is like fifth in the country for the number of deer car crashes that we have.
Yeah.
And we got an email from a nice listener named Tim, who is a professional truck driver, long haul truck driver.
Yep.
And he just had an experience with a deer.
And what did he say to you in the email exchange? How long has he been driving truck?
He said he's been driving truck for 30 years. He has never collided with a deer until he listened to the program on Monday with Kip Adams talking about people crashing into deer.
And folks, the pictures were not pretty.
No, he sent us photos. Yeah. I mean, my God, you could see the fur in the window. He's bleeding. Yeah, he was bleeding. And so he said that we can share this email. And
we didn't do this, folks. This wasn't our
doing. That was not the goal ever of that segment. So and then there's a bear in their woods. That's coming up next hour as well.
Up in the hills.
Yep. There's a bear in those hills. So stay tuned for that. I want to start out, though. Of course, President Biden is coming to Racine today.
Yes.
Our very own news reporter, Stuart J. Waddles, is going to be there as President Biden stops to talk about the former Foxconn facility. Remember, Greg, how great that was going to be? Foxconn was going to be life-changing and bring all of these family, like, how many thousands of jobs?
Thousand. I mean, it was 13,000.
13,000 family-supporting jobs.
With a median income of $73,000.
How'd that work out?
Well, that was announced in June of 2018, almost a year ago. Almost 6 years ago.
Yep.
It has gone from 13,000 jobs to about 500 jobs. The economic impact has shrunk very, very little. And the really good pay scale has gone between $15 to $20 an hour, which
that's not terrible.
For some people, $15 to $20 an hour is great. But when you're looking at $73,000 as the median income of the employees, that's far below expectations. And there's tons of land not being used. They did more construction on the freeway after that freeway had just been
finished,
redone.
Yep.
For their driverless truck. We invested a lot. And when I say we, folks, I'm not talking about anybody but me and you, the taxpayers, because we gave them tax break upon tax break, and they left us holding an empty bucket. Nothing to show for it.
Just think back to that picture of the gold shovels.
Yes.
Going into the ground with former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and former President Trump. And this was going to be the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, I don't understand why he said that. That was a very weird thing to say out loud. You know, like when we talk about like the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, and Foxconn in Racine, Wisconsin. How else does it get better?
I just remember talking to some colleagues at the time when this first started bubbling around, and I did point out that Foxconn had this great reputation in overseas. Yeah. They had to put up nets on the top of their buildings mm-hmm. to stop their employees from committing suicide by jumping off the building.
Yeah.
You can look it up.
No, absolutely. That was the thing. They are known in countries with far less lower worker standards, taking advantage. I mean, and they were jumping out of the windows of like facilities they lived in. They lived in the buildings they worked in. They were basically living, working in buildings, working 6 days a week for very little pay, doing backbreaking work, ruining their fingers, doing like tiny work with phones and all that. The fact that they came to Wisconsin, I said this to you before we got on the air today, and I said it on Pat's show because we talked about it briefly as well. Before the golden shovels went in the ground, people were saying, this is not good. This will not be what you
said. Why are you trusting them?
Yep. Why are you giving them tax breaks? This is not going to help us. They're going to end up hosing the state. And they did.
Yes.
And so now today, with all that being said, it's just to tell you that President Biden, along with our very own Governor Tony Evers, will be back on that site, which has been bought. Portions of it have been bought up by Microsoft.
Yep.
And they're going to be installing data centers.
President Biden today will announce Microsoft will invest $3.3 billion. The tech giant estimates will create 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs. The project is part of President Biden's Investing in America agenda that has focused on bringing billions of private sector dollars into manufacturing and industries like clean energy and AI.
It's, you know, Pat earlier on his show Up North News Radio talked about the idea of a split screen. And I just kept thinking about that split screen, the idea of Scott Walker and the former president digging into the ground and giving us essentially nothing.
Lots of empty promises.
Lots of empty promises. No jobs to be had. You know, Racinians and Kenosians. I guess I'm a Kenosians.
A Kenosian.
Yeah. There was excitement there. And then it was quickly dashed. 6 years almost to the day later, they're back in Racine. They're going to probably put another couple shovels in the ground. Yep. And there's a promise there from a company that's reputable in America. An American company wants to hire Americans to work to build it. And will hopefully probably hire more Americans to work in it.
It's also my understanding that Microsoft has very few buildings with nets on the top of their buildings.
Almost none. And
I think that's a safe thing to say.
And if they do, it's just in Seattle when fish jump out of the ocean and
it's
the
like
lakes.
Spawning.
Exactly. They catch the fish. So
Sharky from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Sharky. Thanks so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Top of the morning, and thanks for your programming. I tell you what, I've been very close to this in as far as the locations to the south of me. It's probably six swings with a one iron, and I think I can make it. So on days that I'm bored, I said, holy moly, What I do is I play with the security people. What they do is you always, if you're parked on the public areas of the factory, they are so tight on security, like I've never seen, and I'm not used to it because I'm in Mount Pleasant.
Right.
But sometimes I'll park my car and maybe I'll take a few pictures of robins, and then they come up, want to talk to me, and then I move around, and that's what I do for fun. That, that's pathetic, but I'm just enjoying that.
It reminds me of Erin Brockovich when she's taking water samples from PG&E wells, and the security guys come and chase her off.
Yeah.
I just don't get in trouble, Sharky.
Yeah.
Don't start anything. And enjoy your pictures of robins. That's great. And thank you for listening. As always, really appreciate it. You can always join the conversation too at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. President Biden expected to start speaking about 11:45. That can change,
Yeah. Obviously,
depending upon what time Air Force One lands and all that stuff. So Stuart J. Waddles with our news department is going to be there, and he will be checking in. And then I believe the most of the coverage will be after noon, after the noon news with Todd Alba.
Correct, yes.
From noon to 2 p.m. But this is great news.
I think it's just another piece of good news from the infrastructure plan. It's good news. Here's the thing is, it's good news for all this. And what I'm about to say, I absolutely said out loud in 2018 when it happened. If Foxconn would have worked out, if they would have given us the jobs, economic income and the economic impact specifically, all the things they were promised to us or at least projected for us, I absolutely would have said, thank you, Scott Walker. Thank you, Donald Trump, because that is something that did work. Unfortunately, we knew it wasn't going to work because of the track record. And I didn't get to say that. And I kind of like saying that because then we're like, this is not about sides or parties. This is about helping everyone.
Yes.
And right now it's about helping people in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Get jobs. Build that tax base. It's good stuff. And if you can't, and to me, then going back to the split screen idea, if you see June of 2018 to May of today, the differences, they're huge. They're not the same. It's not the lesser of two evils. It's one person who wants to build this country and one person who literally wants to tear it apart.
At the time, then President Trump took credit for negotiating the Foxconn deal. I'd see Terry and say, you've got to give us one of these massive places, Trump said. If I didn't get elected, he definitely wouldn't be spending $10 billion.
Sure, dude. Okay, bro. Yep, you did it. Good job, buddy.
Microsoft will work with Gateway to develop a data center academy to train 1,000 workers across the state for the data center and science and technology roles. By 2030, we'll also expand the Girls in STEM program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very important.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
So we will be keeping you updated on President Biden's visit to Racine. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. When we return, there's a new report out about January 6th and why it took hours to get help to the Capitol Police. I think it's very important.
Yes, it is.
So if you can't stay close, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? Actually, one person texted during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kellen on the board. Ready to take your calls at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before the break. President Biden is coming to Wisconsin today. He's going to be in Racine to talk about this big investment that Microsoft is making at the former Foxconn site. And it's 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs.
Yes.
Which is what this facility is going to bring.
And we had a comment on the live stream from Brandon, who's always very vocal. Great stuff. He's commenting or contributing. What's good for the middle class? When the middle class is lifted up, it brings everyone.
Yep.
And that's true. There's a lot of us.
From the middle in and right? Yeah. And the bottom up.
Yep.
Forget about trickle down, my friends. That doesn't work.
Yep.
We've been waiting for trickle down to work for about 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. Also, from Tom from LA texting in, never forget Wisconsinites. Where the guy from Foxconn said the people of Wisconsin should be saying, thank you, Mr. Foxconn.
Hey, my name is Bob Foxconn. I'm a Foxconn. I like to build things. Don't talk about the Nets, please. It's a sore subject.
Yeah, that makes us a little twitchy.
But my name is Bob Foxconn. I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Okay, we're going to talk about this article from Luke Broadwater in the New York Times that was published yesterday, and we will include this in the show notes. There has been so much... Again, misinformation about who was responsible for the delay in getting help to the Capitol, to the D.C. police
yes.
on January 6th. And Luke Broadwater has this really extensive article, and it's not good.
No.
The commander, as the mob was attacking the Capitol on January 6th, commanders and members of the D.C. National Guard waited for hours to help put down the riot. The then commander of the D.C. Guard, General William Walker, turned to his colleagues at one point and openly contemplated defying the chain of command and instead sending the troops in immediately.
Which, when you think about it, you're like, why didn't you just do it? But also there's heavy implications.
Big ramifications yeah. if you disobey an order.
Yeah.
Quote, if I could send them right now without being fired, I would send them right now. So there was a miscommunication between Christopher Miller, the then Secretary of Defense, because Trump had just fired Mark Esper, and Ryan McCarthy, the Secretary of the Army, who had been in that role for a whole 72 days before January 6th. Apparently, one of these two men had a discussion. We need to contact the general and tell him it's a go. And according to this article, it sounds like both of them thought the other one was going to do that, and nobody followed up.
That's...
In fact, instead of giving the order, this Ryan McCarthy, a whole 72 days in, made a series of phone calls to lawmakers and members of the media and drew up never-implemented plans for the deployment of the National Guard.
He drew up plans but never did it.
Never submitted them, never did anything with them. It was only through chance, hours later, that this command, you're a go, actually made it to General Walker. A colleague had heard there was an order on high to deploy. He was surprised to see the general still waiting there at 5:09 p.m. Don't forget, this all started about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
This went on for hours. More than 3 years after the riots, again, according to this article in the New York Times, a clearer picture emerging. of one of its enduring mysteries, why the hours-long delay. They were only 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were several states away. So they recently conducted interviews with General Dean and three other former members of the Guard. These closed-door interviews have now been released. Again, it was this miscommunication between Christopher Miller and Ryan McCarthy. And no one followed up on that. They could see it on television, what was happening.
They were getting probably reports by the minute on it. So the fact that, did they look at each other and go, you got this? You got this? No.
But they never even checked with each other.
Yeah.
General Dean said in recent testimony, quote, if the Secretary of the Army, the Secretary of Defense, or the President had said go, we would have been there much faster.
Yeah. This story speaks to the narrative, I believe, of the changing definition of what those individuals were. So when they were waiting to be deployed, they wanted to take care of people who were attacking the building, attacking our country, and trying to...
And the Capitol Police.
The Capitol Police, but also prolong, if not try to overthrow, the voting process. So if those individuals were going after them to protect our democracy, this notion of they are hostages and they are patriots and they are misunderstood is crazy to me. Because they were seen as a threat by the highest level of the military.
General Dean testified that on January 6th, General Walker, again, who was the one who needed to issue the command that they were go, General Walker called McCarthy three times to deploy the Guard. He was either brushed aside or his calls went to voicemail. Think about that.
It seriously, it leaves me speechless.
General Dean also talked about a call at 2:30, top military brass pushing back on calls to deploy the Guard because they were worried about optics. General Charles Flynn, Mike Flynn's brother, then a deputy army chief of staff, apparently not concerned.
No.
This is to clarify, Nancy Pelosi never had the authority to call the National Guard, which is the narrative that has been pushed by some, that it was her fault. That's not how it works.
No, I don't believe that the Speaker of the House has the authority to do that, unless the President and the Vice President are incapable of doing the job, if I'm not mistaken. But still, this was Trump not wanting to do anything. This was his lackeys not wanting to do anything. And him enjoying it, too.
And watching it for hours.
Watching it for hours and being excited about it. So these aren't hostages. These aren't patriots.
No,
they're
not.
These are traitors. They committed a crime, and they should be held in jail for as long as justice will allow. And this kind of information just shows that there were people out there who were concerned with our democracy and concerned with upholding the processes. And we're going to put themselves in harm's way. And they were held back from doing so for just like idiot reasons, too. Like, oh, I didn't check with you. I thought you did it. Didn't you do it?
I don't necessarily buy that. I think this was intentional. That's just me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I highly encourage you. We will put this in the show notes. And you're wondering, where do I find said show notes? Go to civicmedia.us, click on Matt Nair on Air. Every episode is listed. It's hour by hour.
Yeah.
And then within those notes about that hour, you'll find links.
Yeah. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. And when it delivers to your phone as a podcast, those links will be there in the show notes as well. You know, just download the show.
We would appreciate
that. We'd love it. And review us.
We would love that. All right. News is coming up next. And when we return, we're talking voting with the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Deborah Cronmiller is joining us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are again ignoring Governor Evers' call to free up $140 million for PFAS cleanup statewide and health care in the Chippewa Valley. Joint Finance Committee co-chair, Representative Mark Bourne.
He could have taken the deal. He decided there were things in there that he couldn't take. That's his choice. That's his right. But that's how he chose to stop that program.
The Joint Finance Committee Tuesday did approve spending $36 million in opioid settlement money. The owners of two Wisconsin wedding barns are suing. They want a Trempealeau County court to block a new state law that forces them to get liquor licenses. Wedding barn owners say the law is too restrictive and too expensive. Bars and restaurants have long complained that wedding barns have enjoyed an unfair advantage. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Kaukauna Area School District may ask voters to approve a $200 million facilities referendum in November. The biggest item in the proposal is constructing a new middle school. Other items include safety and security upgrades, more flexible learning spaces, and creating the space for child care services. The referendum would cost property owners about $95 per $100,000 property value. The district's seeking public comment and will send surveys to residents this month before deciding how best to move forward. Summer's the perfect time to hide some learning into fun, and the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay is doing just that with their summer camps for kids. Executive Director Beth Kalowski.
We have a brand new educator, so with that, Allie brings a lot of enthusiasm. All of her programming seems pretty magical, so I know it'll be high-paced, interesting.
Visit the Neville Public Museum website to learn more about the summer camps for preschoolers and 6 to 9-year-olds. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Sometimes regular people see what celebrities wear to events or fashion shows and say, I would never wear that. Conversely, there is rapper Doja Cat, who wore something we can all relate to the Met Gala, a bath towel and only a bath towel. She was going for the fresh out of the shower look and accessorized with a towel wrapped around her head. But she didn't stop there. She even had the smeared makeup look to complement the outfit. Was it a fashion statement, or did she really just oversleep? Comedian Marlon Wayans says he chose never to marry because he didn't want his mom to be jealous. That old excuse. The 51-year-old actor said he never wanted his mother to feel second to any woman. Wayans' mother died in 2020 at the age of 81. Wayans addresses the issue of death and family with a new film called Good Grief, which drops on Amazon Prime June 6th. Wayans said he misses his mother dearly, but is excited to finally get out there and play the field. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bright and beautiful today, under mostly sunny skies, highs will hit the mid-60s. Clouds thicken tonight and winds become breezy as a chance of spotty showers scrape us, bringing a darker, breezier, and cooler day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Rocky Laporte, who joins the show to talk about his big show in Wisconsin, and Jimmy Cuska joins me to talk sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just a reminder to head over to our website, civicmedia.us. We have merch. You can buy a t-shirt, you can buy a Civic Media shirt, you can buy a WAUK shirt, which we would highly recommend.
Yes.
And a snappy Civic Media hat. Yeah. So check out the merch, civicmedia.us. Very excited to have our next guest join us. And you did this really last minute. I appreciate it. Deb Cronmiller is the Executive Director for the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's just so important, Deborah, because there still remain so many questions and so many falsehoods about election fraud and what's happening with that. And so I like to try and clarify some of this so we all understand what's actually going on, as opposed to something you heard from your cousin whose boyfriend saw someone cheat. So the Public Interest Legal Foundation, or PILF, is asking a federal judge to declare that Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf violated the federal National Voter Registration Act because the agency charges for its voter registration list and doesn't include voters' dates of birth. So what does this mean?
Well, I think it is a poor proposition to begin with. The Elections Commission is in compliance with all of our own state statutes with regard to the availability of our polling lists. We have a process here in Wisconsin for how you can get access to polling information. And unlike other states, there is a charge in Wisconsin for that information. And, so organizations even like the League has to pay to access information if we want voter information, specific voter information.
So it even applies to your organization.
Sure. And we work in coalition with others who like also to access the information. So and then if one of us pays the fee, and then we're allowed to all of us access the information, but the fee has to be paid. That is the Wisconsin process. And I don't believe that charging a lesser fee or a greater fee is going to change that process. You just have to kind of walk the walk when you're wanting to get voter information.
So Deborah, why is Wisconsin kind of an outlier? Are there other states that follow this same rule that we do and then others that don't?
There are states that make the information available at no cost, and then there are states that make the information available at a cost. Our cost is on the relatively high end of the spectrum, but it's not the highest in the United States. There are some states that charge in the hundreds of dollars or low thousands. $12,000 is about what Wisconsin is charging. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission uses these fees that are charged to users of the list information to help offset their operating costs. And so it's a source of revenue for the state of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
And you know, we talked about this, and while I'm all for transparency, I don't want anything being held in the way of voting. I do agree it's Wisconsin's law, so therefore we should adhere to it. And usually these groups generally have the money to get these kinds of lists if they really, really want them. But the group that's suing doesn't have a track record for protecting votes. They're not in the interest of saying, like, we need to make the voting process more secure and easier. It's essentially for helping to get people thrown off voter rolls.
That's our belief as well, that this is kind of not well-intended. Yeah. Our legislature, as you probably are aware from the last session, they did actually pass a bill in the two chambers to lower the cost, but the governor vetoed that at the behest of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, somewhat because they use these fees to help offset their costs, and there wasn't a legislatively guaranteed counterbalance to what would fill that gap for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We know that this Wisconsin Elections Commission is, the pivotal organization in really overseeing our elections in Wisconsin. And so to underfund them or to not have the sources of funds that they have available to them now doesn't make any sense at all. And I believe that's why the governor vetoed that piece of legislation.
Well, it almost feels like there are some who would like to make sure that our elections are not run smoothly and quickly and getting people in and out in a timely manner in order to just kind of muck up the process and discourage people that way. It's too much of a hassle to vote. I'm not going to go vote. I don't want to stand in line for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we had you on before, Deborah, talking about the two constitutional amendments that just passed after the election and what that's going to mean as far as not giving any of these election officials anywhere in Wisconsin any additional funding.
Yeah, and we were saddened, of course, to see that that amendment passed and that election officials' hands are now somewhat tied from accepting grant dollars or other sources of revenue that is not government sources of revenue, especially in the light of the fact that our government, both federal and state, is not stepping up to the plate to say, oh, we'll fill in the hole for you. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure that you able to have all the polling places that you've historically had, have all the poll workers that you've historically have, be able to buy new equipment when yours becomes antiquated. There are no guarantees right now how our local elections officials are going to actually do the same quality job that they have always done because they could accept these important grant resources. I know that we've had some municipalities who kind of before the April election tried to bring in as much new grant money as they could to ready themselves, sure, at least for the next couple of years to ensure that they had up-to-date quality equipment, that they had the resources that they need to stand up our elections.
Our guest is Deborah Cronmiller. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Deborah, if they have enough money, hopefully for 2024, but there's still the possibility that we could end up with fewer polling places in the November election, right?
My crystal ball is fuzzy, Jane. Yeah.
But it could happen.
That could happen. You know, we are working with clerks, as we always have, to ensure that they have enough poll workers, to ensure that they have the resources, human resources that they need to do early voting, to do same election day voting. But we don't know, and we haven't seen yet, the clerks haven't had to declare all their polling places yet. So we're not certain if they will declare fewer polling sites as a cost-containing strategy. We're hopeful not.
I don't want to pile on all the hardships, but let us also not forget, and we talked about this even yesterday, that the Assembly passed a bipartisan bill to make it possible for bigger municipalities to start counting those absentee votes earlier, so they just weren't mucked down for days. And it didn't pass. It didn't even get brought up in the Senate, and it died in the Assembly. And so now if we have less polling places, you're going to have longer wait times on results because those municipalities, those wards in Milwaukee and Madison and other larger places are going to be counting the votes, all of them, from the moment the polls close and they start setting up for that. So it just, all of these mechanisms they're trying to quote unquote make our elections more secure just seems it's making it harder to vote in the face of an election that's not insecure.
And I think that primary messaging around our elections is they are safe, secure, accountable. We have a paper trail for every ballot that is cast in this state. We can recount elections at the drop of a hat, essentially. So we know that we have a high level of integrity in our election processes. And as far as counting absentee ballots, you never do know how many absentee ballots are going to be submitted in any election. You know, during the COVID pandemic, early stages, we had 70% of the ballots were absentee ballots because people were just afraid.
Yep.
You know, that's come way down now. We're still higher than we were pre-COVID, but, you know, 30, 40%. And big cities like Milwaukee actually use a central count location. And that process has been streamlined. And, you know, as we saw in our previous couple of election cycles, you know, Milwaukee is actually not, you know, submitting their absentee vote data the next day. You know, it's coming later in the evening, but it's still coming, you know, very proximate to the time that the election polling places close at 8 p.m. In Madison, however, our other major metro, absentee ballots are counted at the polling places. So they move from the clerk's office to the polling place, but that counting starts at 7 a.m. when that polling place opens at the availability. And so again, hopefully poll workers can be working on that all day. So the lag between getting the results and when people want the result, which, you know, it's unrealistic to believe the result's going to come in 5 minutes after the polling place is closed.
Right.
But, you know, that it is at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock and not, you know, the following morning at 10 a.m. or something of that nature.
But I think, too, that just helps feed the narrative of ballot dumps in the middle of the night and we don't know where they're coming from. And that's just not how it works at this.
We exactly know where they're coming from.
I mean, there are multiple double checks of these things. It's not like, oh, Ralph submitted his ballot and he, you know, it's all good. It doesn't work that way.
And we have to keep in mind that all of our election results, what is reported on election night is not the final certified result. That's what the, you know, polling workers reported. That's what they got off of their strip from their tabulator. But that result will be counted again at the municipal level, will be counted again at the county level, and ultimately the WEC will have to certify that result. So there are three levels of checks and balance. And so it's not just a
one
willy
and done.
Nilly,
right. I was going to say willy nilly. That's the professional term. It's not done willy nilly.
And we have a lot of statutes that govern how our elections are administered. So
but also we need to remember, because of that constitutional amendment added in Wisconsin in the last election, it now we need to define what really means by election official. And also the ability for people to stand 2 feet away from you while you're voting. I mean, there are all these different measures now that are coming that are just trying to at least make voting seem inconvenient. And so that's the thing that League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is doing to make sure that we keep things transparent. We make sure, as you said, Deborah, the elections are secure and they're solid. And that's even agreed upon by our Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, who said it in print, that is safe and secure. Let's move on.
We're going to continue this conversation with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. If you have a question or a comment, 855-752-4842. Charles and Cindy, I see you on the line. Please stay with us and stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home?
California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Kevin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Deb Cronmiller, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, is our guest. We're just talking about voting and secure elections and all things like that. Charles from Green Bay has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, Jane and Deb, the question I've got for you is this. My wife and I do mail-in ballots, and the last primary, we mailed them in a timely manner. We actually mailed them at the post office. Our vote was not registered when we went to look at it on the computer.
Is that a failure? Is that
after the election?
That's interesting, Charles. Deb, do you think that's a failure of the Postal Service?
Yes, I do. There was a time when I think that USPS made it a high priority to ensure that every single ballot was delivered timely. I don't believe that is a continuing priority of USPS, and I'm not basing that on statistical evidence or data, but we've heard this complaint. The best I can tell you is that on the myvote.wi.gov website, once your absentee ballot has been issued by your clerk, it starts a string of communications to you, the voter, and you can see when it was mailed to you, and then you can also track when it has been received by your clerk. If election day rolls around and you have not received your ballot, and you can show your poll worker that, we do believe there's a way that you could spoil your absentee ballot so that a ballot. But you would have to go to your polling
place in
order to cast a ballot that on election day. And that's not convenient for everybody. And that's why many people who use absentee ballots. They're not going to be in town on election day.
Right.
They can't get to the polling place easily. You know, whatever obstacle motivated them to use the absentee ballot in the first place may make it impossible for them to get to their polling place on election day. But this is a sad reality. And the league tracks, you know, from the day absentee ballots start dropping into the market, you can see how many ballots on the WEC's website. You can see statistically how many clerks have sent from every municipality. And then on a daily basis, they track back to the WEC how many are returned. So as the time of the election cycle, it gets closer and closer to election day, you know, the preponderance of absentee ballots are returned by election day. Some are not.
And to me, that's just more evidence, though, Deborah, that there is a chain of command to these things. It's not, you know, there is a paper trail for what happens with all of these pieces of paper. They don't just get passed around by hand or one person marks it off and you're done. That's not how it works. Good heavens, you go and vote at the polls. You already have two people there just checking your address.
Yeah.
So the actual ballot itself is going to have that much, if not more, security. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Cindy, my cynical soul sister, how are you? What does you want to say?
Good. Well, I have a few things, and I actually am a league member here in Appleton. And I want to give credit to the League of Women Voters for trying to get out as much educational information about those two referendums on the last ballot as possible. Unfortunately, it didn't reach enough people because these nasty things passed. And my other concern is the 11th hour of the Republicans pulling a stunt to file a lawsuit against the map. So I'm very concerned about this election, not only with this new referendum that passed and the possibility of a lawsuit to stifle the map. So
I appreciate that, Cindy. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you calling. Always appreciate you listening.
And we actually, I think the league has been at the forefront of trying to provide good, solid, truthful voter information. You know, we're saddened to see certain lawsuits that are coming into the court systems, the, you know, not the least of which is the one by the Public Interest Legal Foundation now. But there's been other challenges in court to process, to you know, to what we know is the underlying security of elections, and causing confusion or chaos as it gets closer and closer to elections is not in anyone's best interest. You know, our democracy functions because we all know what the rules are. We all have been bestowed with the right to be able to vote to elect our representatives, and that those representatives should be our spokesperson. They represent our values. And unfortunately, what we have seen with the gerrymandered maps is that our representatives weren't responding, you know, legitimately to their voters, but rather were responding more to their donors, to their parties. And we're thrilled now that the governor has enacted what seemed to be a much fairer set of maps, more contiguous, more sensically drawn with regard to, you know, you don't have the salamander kind of thing going on. And
no islands.
No islands. Right. And so we're very hopeful that, you know, given that new development in the state of Wisconsin, a legislature will be seated that will represent Wisconsinites. And so many of the things that Wisconsin has been begging for, you know, medical marijuana, the expansion of Medicaid, public school funding, yeah, for gosh darn sakes, yeah, you know, these are things that can come back. And the same things that made Wisconsin so strong and such a leader in government best practices, hopefully those will all come back.
Always so wonderful having you here. Deborah Cronmill, the executive director, executive director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. In the minute we have left, Deborah, where can people go get involved and find out more about the league?
Well, you can always join the league at lwvwi.org, a local league. You can join at the state level, but we are out advocating. There's a lot of work to be done before the August primary and the November general election. So we really are hopeful.
We'll get that link in our show notes. Deborah Cronmiller, League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. Thank you so very, very much for your time, Deborah. News is coming up next. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome back to the program our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss what's going on and take your phone calls.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Watch out! You got
Daddy!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.